I love that song. He is a good, good father. He is not an impersonal being that just created all of this and just left it spinning and left us to our own devices. That is not a good father. He is a good father. He loved us so much that he sent a very, who he was, his own presence, his son Jesus, to walk among us, to show him his heart. And I appreciate this passage in 1 John because I believe it really encapsulates what we've really been trying to talk about recently, really about serving together and serving those who are in need. In 1 John 3, verse 16, John writes, "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. And if anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth." And earlier in 1 John chapter 2, he says, "If anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did." So not only are we to listen to Jesus' teachings and to really embody them, we are to live them out. We are to not just have the words, but the actions to go behind it. And hopefully you can be encouraged today. We have something a little different for you today. As you can see, I got a table up here. Right? Got some chairs. We're going to do things a little different. Is different okay? Are you okay? I don't want to lose anybody. All right, good. Amen. So we're going to share a little bit about putting the teachings of Jesus, the heart of Jesus, the feet of Jesus, the hands of Jesus, the eyes of Jesus. What does it look like when we put it into practice? Not just in words, but in truth and in action. And you're going to hear from a couple people. And the first is Melanie Sesertia. So hopefully she can make her way up. But Melanie's going to be the first to share because she's going to bring us up to date and really give us the fuller story about what recently happened when that house right across the street burned down. And that only happened about a month ago. And so I wanted Melanie to come up and share in this spirit of what does it mean to help people in need? So, amen. Good to see you, Melanie.
Thank you. Thank you. And good morning, church. So my husband, Ron, and I were at the 9 a.m. service 4 weeks ago today. And that's when Jeff mentioned to all of us there about the fire that had happened the night before. It was an electrical fire, and it's a house right across the street from the lighthouse. And so he talked about how what a great opportunity as a church to reach out to our neighbor, to offer whatever help she would need, and somehow we'd be hearing more about that. And so as my husband and I were listening to Jeff, he and I had suffered a fire in 2004, a year after we had moved here, due to a lightning strike, and it was catastrophic for us as well. And so we felt prompted at that point when Jeff mentioned it. So we drove across the street after service, and we met Lance Moore. He was outside of the house, and he gave us Carol, his mother's phone number, and we expressed to him then our sympathy for what they've gone through, and we've gone through something similar, and that we wanted to offer any assistance personally, but also as a church that we represented our church community. And so I left him, and then, of course, I called Carol right away, and I got acquainted over the phone, and I again offered her assistance, that anything we could do to help her with what she was going through. And she told me then, she said, "Well, I think we're going to be fine. I have renter's insurance, but thank you anyway." And so I was in the neighborhood the next day, Monday, and I drove by her house, and I saw a car out front, and I got out, and Carol was in her car, and we made our introduction to one another, and she walked me through her house that day, and everything was completely destroyed by either the smoke or by water damage. And I said, well, do you need anything, Carol? She said, once again, she said, no, we're going to be fine. And I asked her then, I said, well, you have my number. Please let me know if there's anything we can do to help. So I left her not knowing if I would hear from her. And so, of course, it was about a week later from that I got a text message from Jeff, and he wanted to know what the updates were on Carol and what we could do. And so I needed that little nudge from Jeff, and so I reached out to Carol. And so I called her, and this time I could tell she was experiencing frustrations with filing her claim, and she had some unexpected expenses unrelated to the fire. And then she said, well, maybe I could use some grocery store gift cards, that maybe that would help. So in reaching back out to Jeff, he suggested the donation box to set up on Sundays, and we'd get the word out to all of you and let people just make contributions to meet her needs. And so I reached out to my family group, and I also reached out to some of the ladies in the Tuesday Bible study right away. And so just within 2 days, I collected $475. And so then I reached out to Sylvia Wyatt and I said, will you go with me to Carol to meet her and give her this donation and invite her to the Tuesday Bible study? Sylvia was going to be teaching the following lesson. And so we made that introduction. And then that following Sunday was the first day the donation box was set up. And when I got home with what was in it, I was completely overwhelmed by the generosity. Well, Carol came to Bible study the following Tuesday, and we gifted her a money tree, gift card tree at that time with everything you had given. And then last Sunday again, more donations were made on her behalf as well. And yesterday, her and I met for breakfast because I wanted to give her again what had been donated. And so to date, you've given Carol $3,160 in cash and gift cards. I know. Give yourself a hand. This generosity has moved her to such emotion and tears when we've talked about it, when we've met. She actually kind of fell apart at a store with her daughter, her sister, because she's just so overwhelmed by the love, the outpouring of concern. Carol Moore is a small business owner. She has a business called Carol's Caregivers. She has 12 employees, and hearing her story is pretty amazing. She usually works on Sundays because she wants her employees to be off. They don't really want to work on Sundays, so she's willing to work. But she told me yesterday at breakfast that she's working on that schedule, and she's going to make all the changes so that she has 3 Sundays a month off, so she can attend North River and be with us. And I was just amazed at her heart. So she's got a huge heart for people. She loves others. She really loves God. Two of the things she told me yesterday, which were so powerful, she said to me, you have to change with the change. She sees this house fire as a change. And she quoted her mother saying to her, blessings come in all sorts of ways. You'll never know where. And she said, I see this fire as one of those blessings. And she really wanted me to express to all of you her heartfelt thanks to North River and to Jeff. And I want to thank you, too. There's just a couple of things that have impacted me personally going through this process. And I just wanted to share a couple of my takeaways with all of you. One of the things was just the importance of my listening to the Spirit's promptings in my life. And, you know, all Ron and I did was go across the street to meet with them and make that connection. And that was very powerful for me. The other thing was just to really make the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil, that I never know where God might want to use me. I experience that it's more blessed to give than to receive through this entire relationship with her, because now Carol's a new friend in my life, and her heart has really revealed to me the goodness of God. And the other thing I wanted to share that I took away was what we could accomplish together as a church, together with the Holy Spirit, with Jeff taking the leadership he did on this, my family group, the Women's Bible Study, and then all of the North River Church. It's just so powerful to see that. And sometimes we lose that connection with our little bit and what it can do in blessing others. And the last thing is just, I really, my takeaway was the importance of just being persistent, never giving up. You know, Carol kept saying, I'm fine. You know, I'm fine. I don't need anything. And she told me yesterday at breakfast, she said, you were really persistent. And so I was going to quit, but then Jeff gave me a nudge, and I'm grateful for that, and I'm also grateful for the opportunity I had to serve in this way.
Amen. Thank you. After the 9 a.m., sister gave me this $100 card, so we can add to the list. And I want to thank you, Melanie, because, you know, I didn't tell you to go over there. That was just a totally random announcement. Like, I didn't even know it had happened. So somebody came up to me right before the 9 o'clock. So you just responded, you know. So to me, and then to be there the next day, right? You were in the neighborhood the next day. But also, Melanie's been helping her file the insurance claim too, right? Because that's been frustrating for her.
Right. I've just been telling her, you know, the importance of the process of filing the claim, how to go about it, and how to maximize the benefit from her insurance company. So, yes.
Yeah. So you and Ron, having gone through your own fire in 2004, of all the families at the church to, you know, connect you to. And honestly, it reminded me of what Nick preached last Sunday.
Yes.
He said, like, there's no one we wouldn't love if we knew their story. Mm. You remember when Nick said that last Sunday?
Yeah.
And I feel like you've really made a friend.
Yes.
And hopefully she'll be worshiping with us too. That'd be cool.
Amen.
But thanks, Melanie. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thanks.
Amen. So hopefully that is encouraging to you to see what, when we are together, when we're faithful together, when we serve together, the power in that. And I wanted to invite another person up, Chris. Chris has recently moved here. Chris and I met about, you know, maybe about 5 or 6 or 7 years ago, I don't know. And Chris was living in Miami area and came up, and we talked about, yeah, we're socially, is right. This good?
Sure.
Okay.
Be sure.
Yeah, we're good. And so we got to know each other, and then it was cool when he moved up. But we were getting together over breakfast burritos a month or two ago.
Canvas breakfast burritos.
Canvas,
are the best.
Shout out to local businesses. So we were hanging out, and I don't even know how the story came up. It was just, you know how you're talking. It's a story that came up. And I was sitting there like, there was a lot of layers to it. And I was like, man, that was, it moved me. It had me, so to speak. And so I knew that this message, this sermon series we were going to do was coming up. And I was like, man, there's a part of me that would love for the church to hear this, because I think it really gets at what we're trying to talk about. So that we kind of hatched that plan, but then all of a sudden here we are. And I was like, Chris, you still open to do that? And so I appreciate you even being willing, you know, to share this story of how God used you in this situation. So let the church know, man.
Yeah, so I moved here with my wife and daughter about 2 years ago. And my wife's a teacher. We followed a couple friends of ours up here, the Esquijarosas and the Hobbies, and we know a bunch of friends of ours that have moved here as well. And right around 2014-15, we had our child, Evie, Evelette. And I was working in the ministry at the time, youth and family ministry, and I had one of my one of the teens that I mentored with me, a kid named Tommy, and we went to a McDonald's after some event. And the event, we had a whole bunch of what they call in Miami pastelitos, which are little like guava and cheese and little croquetas and different types of pastries. Very delicious.
People are hungry. They want to go home now. You
have to try the pastelitos. So we had like a like a tray left over. We brought it inside the McDonald's. I had no idea. We're just kind of going to town on them. And while me and Tommy and I are eating there, I felt someone kind of like over the partition, kind of staring onto where our table was, and I was kind of uncomfortable. And Tom was looking at the guy, And we didn't know if he was going to fight or what was going to happen. And so Tommy noticed that he was looking at our little pastelitos there. And so we were like, would you like one? He's like, yeah, please. It's like, all right, great. So we just, which one do you want? You know, we just gave him one and, all right, leave us alone. You know, we're just trying, you know, trying to get engaged. I was very like self-focused, right? Sometimes, you know, Melanie talked about just kind of listening to the Spirit's prompting. Well, at the moment, I was just trying to not be bothered. Well, kept looking over again. So like, would you like some more? So we gave him some more. And come to find out, I started having a conversation. Found out he was homeless, living in a park down the road. And he was probably college age, maybe like 19 years old, 20. And it was rare because most people that I see that are homeless are, they may have a disability, whether it's mental or physical or a lot older. And I'd never seen someone this young living on the street. And he had been sleeping in the slide that has the enclosures so he didn't get wet when it rained. It was during the summer months. And all of his belongings were in a garbage bag in the park. So as we started talking, I just decided, man, this is rare. I want to get to know him a little bit further. So met with him later on and found out his backstory. Apparently, his father had left him when he was young, and he had a stepfather and his mom who were abusive to him growing up, to the point where around 9 or 10 years old, the stepfather broke one of his arms, and Lewis is his name. He had to walk to the hospital for about 2 miles on his own. Walked to the hospital, got admitted on his own. Of course, they called child services, arrested the stepfather, took away the mom, took him into the foster care program, and then he aged out, you know, around 18-ish, got out of the program, 17, 18, and was on his own, on the street. And you know what happens on the street is, you know, the drugs and the exposure to crime and just the bad cycle. So when this was God is like the star of the show. When he put us there in that McDonald's, I got to a point where I was like, I need to help him. You know, this is what we do. So, you know, brought him over to the house, talked to my wife. We just had our daughter. And I said, hey, can he stay here in our home overnight? Give him a shower, feed him, cook him breakfast, go out. And, you know, she was like, yeah, for sure. So he stayed in our home, let him take a shower, went out, bought him all new, you know, the clothes and the thing, toiletries, things that he needed. And then we got on the computer because he needed to get his GED and his Florida identification just so that he can get back on his feet so he can get a job. And thank God, I mean, we were able to get all that stuff taken care of. He knew what his social security number was, got his identification information, got a job working, I think it was at Wendy's down there. And then a couple brothers, we came out to church. And a couple brothers pulled some money together, bought him a bus ticket because he had a job waiting for him for family members out in the Midwest. And I kept in touch with him all these years, and now he's a dad. He's got his own son. And so it's just an amazing how God puts us in situations and just kind of expects us or hopes that we'll be faithful in those scenarios. So that's the story of me meeting Lewis.
Yeah, man. Yeah. So I'm just thinking, like, You said when he originally kind of was looking, you were feeling a certain way, kind of like bothered, annoyed.
Yeah.
So you went from bothered, annoyed to even willing to bring him to your house, which, by the way, I wonder how that conversation went down. But,
well, if you know my wife, I mean, she's from Homestead, so that's a particular section in Miami where you have to keep your guard up and everyone's got, you know, security windows. So, I mean, it was really, I think, an act of God softening her heart, making me feel safe and secure enough, because you don't know if this is going to turn into one of those Les Miserables kind of situations where they rob your house and, yeah, you know, and if he was violent and, you know, initially I was just annoyed that he was bothering us. And I think, and this is just, you know, whether to my shame or whatever, I think that often we're not aware of where God is putting us and the people he's putting around us. And sometimes we have to check ourselves to make certain that if we're in a situation and there's an opportunity to be faithful to God and make an impact on the world, that we're sensitive enough to the Spirit's prompting to take action on those steps rather than to, I mean, it could have been easily just give them the tray and then walk out or be bothered or move tables, you know, but, you know, he's become a friend and he's a father now, and me and a couple brothers and family members have been able to help get him back on. It was interesting. When he came to church, he had gone through so much challenges of just the negativity that he experienced in life. His first view of the church was judgmental. He thought people were going to look at him weird because he smelled. He was dressed a certain way. You know, everyone's uppity. They're snobs at the church. They're probably judging me. I mean, he was so hardened. He didn't expect grace or kindness to be offered to him or even have someone bring him in their home.
Yeah.
You know, and so it was an amazing experience. But I think really, like I said, I think God is kind of like the centerpiece because the stuff he was working in the background to bring all that together at that point.
Yeah. Was there ever a moment like you just felt like, I don't know, where maybe he expressed something that has resonated with you or stuck with you? I mean, I know sometimes people don't have that gratitude, honestly, you know, and it's not that you do it to get pat on the back.
Right.
But I don't know, was there a moment or something that you remember where it was kind of like a connection? Like,
Yeah. I think, I mean, I love to say that, you know, he got baptized his whole neighborhood and everything like that. But, you know, reminds me of that story where Jesus had the 10 that he healed, the 10 lepers, and only one came back.
Yeah.
I mean, the 9 that didn't say thank you were still healed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And who knows what happened to their lives later on down the road. I think, you know, in reality, that I think for him, where he was coming from, he did express gratitude. He did call me a ton. There were moments later on where I think, you know, when you give somebody who hasn't had much and you give to them, there's the concern of like, is it going to be like this ongoing thing for years and I'm going to be like codependently feeding him and not really helping him? There was a time where I said, you know, he wanted to come back down to Miami, and I knew Miami wasn't the best place for him. I said, no, I can't help you buy a ticket for that. You know, and he ended up toughing up and getting on his feet, getting a job, you know, taking care. I mean, he's a father now. So over the years and in that situation, he has expressed gratitude, but I think there was also what's the angle here? What are the strings that are attached? What's he trying to do? Why is he helping me? Suspicion, you know, but I think that overarchingly, God will plant a seed in someone, even if it's the toughest soil, and who knows years later when that'll blossom into something that's glorious.
Amen. Yeah. Thanks for sharing that with us. Right, I appreciate it, man. Thank you. I'm going to read a passage right now, and after we read that passage, we'll take the Lord's Supper with each other. But I do want you to kind of just remember what you've heard already this morning, even what the Hargroves are sharing, you know. I think, you know, BB talking about some people can feel worthless just because of whatever situation they're in. Just like we heard about Lewis, he was feeling that way coming into a group of Christians to feel that way. And I hope that you can remember the passages about what it means to love. Sometimes it takes action. It takes your time, your convenience, your material possessions, Sometimes it does. But I think the best place to start is with the heart. And not your heart, because your heart and my heart, funky sometimes, can be whatever. If we surrender and die to ourselves, we can let the heart of Jesus live through us. Yeah. Right? So I want to read this passage, and I want you to reflect. I want you to reflect on Jesus. I want you to just see the heart of Jesus and the love of Jesus. In Luke 18, as Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. And they told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And he called out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Those who led the way rebuked him, told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped. And he ordered the man to be brought to him. And when he came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord, I want to see," he replied. Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. And when all the people saw it, they also praised God. May we have the heart of Jesus and not the people that rebuked. Let's pray. Father, we come to you and we bring you our worries. We surrender ourselves to you. We offer you our brokenness and where we fall short. And we desire to remember the heart of Jesus right now. We desire to acknowledge that we need the body of Christ. We need to take his body into our own bodies. We needed him to shed his blood for us. And when we drink this drink, we remember that sacrifice. Please, Lord, transform us from the inside out. We can't do it on our own. We don't have the power to do it. Please help us to have the heart that you have. That when you see people, you don't rebuke them. You have a heart to stop. And they're not worth less to you. Lord, help us to change. Help us to not be greedy. Help us not be so materialistic to get bent out of shape if something insignificant isn't what we want it to be. Please help us to reflect the heart of Jesus. Please, and we pray in his name. Amen.